What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPow11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Will Parkinson NFL on YouTube, joined by YouTube's finest, ESPN Radio, the whole nine yards. The legend who will be in Circa in Las Vegas next week, unfortunately can't be joining him in person, but will be on his show next week. Jake Asman. Jake, how we doing?
Will, I'm fantastic, and even though you won't be in Vegas with us, you will be there in spirit, and I'm excited that you'll be popping into our megacast throughout the weekend, and hopefully there's a lot of positives to talk about with the Jets, so I'm pumped up, man. Less than a week to go now, finally.
I know, finally. We're almost here. I was actually talking about it with a couple of friends last night. Hey, who the Jets taking, et cetera, and everyone, I was like, man, I cannot wait for the fucking draft, because I've had the same discourse and discussion, and we're going to do the exact same thing here today. And Leger Duz will be on TOJ Talks tomorrow as well. This episode with Jake will be out Friday. It'll be full interview will be on YouTube, as well as wherever you get your podcasts. Jake, how are you feeling a week out here? We're, you know, I guess less than a week till round one. Where's your head at? I tweeted out last night, pretty much every answer is Fatanu, Bowers, or Roma Dunze. Is that where you're at? How are you feeling overall?
I'm a little uneasy with just the Bowers discourse, because to me, the Jets are either telegraphing that's who they want, because every like mock draft analyst has them basically taking Bowers, or it's a giant smokescreen. And I really can't tell. And as someone who's not a Bowers boy, I'm trying to manifest them doing something other than take a tight end at number 10. So I'm hoping it's just a smokescreen, and their plan all along is either to take an offensive lineman, trade up for one of the big three receivers, or trade back and still go offensive lineman. And I want to make it clear, I'm not like anti-Bowers as a prospect. I see the appeal. I just don't believe in the value at number 10. So that's my big thing. But, you know, look, the one thing I will say is, because of the offseason Douglas has had to this point, the Jets find themselves in the spot where there's not many things they could do where it would be like, that makes no sense. Like, this is not, you know, last year where like the McDonald pick came out of nowhere. Even if you're not the biggest Bowers fan and they took him at 10, we can't sit here and deny he's an outstanding prospect and should make them better right away. I think it's just a matter of the debate. Well, is that the best use of resources when you have this number 10 pick and your left tackle can't stay healthy? Your right tackle's 33 and Elijah Vera Tucker, who's awesome, unfortunately, has had season-ending injuries in October the last 2 years. So that's where I kind of fall on the debate. But, you know, with what they've done, Will, they put themselves in a spot where there's not many things they could do next week that would really piss the fan base off, other than probably a defensive player or a quarterback at this point.
Yeah, I think quarterback, running back, defensive player have to be out. I think interior offensive lineman probably is out as well. I land here, I guess, a week out is – I think a trade up for one of the three top receivers, if one starts to fall, if Marv gets past four, which again, these are things I've talked about a million times, but if Marv gets past four, if Neighbor starts to slip past six, if Rome starts to slip past six, I think a trade up is very much on the table, you know, or trying to stay put and get a receiver. But one of the top three receivers, I think, is the ultimate priority for the Jets. That said, after that is where the discussion, I think, is the most disagreement happens, even mostly. Very few people, I guess, don't want a receiver. Most people do. I think it starts to be Bowers versus offensive lineman versus trade back. And I think Brian Thomas Jr. should be in the mix in terms of, you know, another option at 10, potentially. It's probably slightly high for him. Maybe he's more like in that Jacksonville range at 17, things like that. But he's a 4'3 guy. He's 6'3, 210 pounds, you know, as elite of a, you know, elite release package. The whole nine yards, would cook with Aaron Rodgers on the outside. As well, I think Connor Rogers comped him to Christian Watson. Like, you know, you'd take that, obviously, without the bad hamstrings. The Bowers O-line discussion, again, I've talked about this a bunch, and I know we've talked about it on your show. You've talked about it a ton as well. My thing with Bowers is this, is that the concern is not the player for me. It's more of the fit and saying, hey, with Aaron Rodgers, 100%, that's a, you know, it's an ideal situation for him to come into. I think him and Conklin would play well off each other. I think him and Ruckert, if they didn't extend Conklin, theoretically speaking, down the line, then that could be a good partnership. All that stuff is true. I also think the Jets' offense isn't super creative. And, you know, Bowers is a guy who different screen packages, speed sweeps, trying to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. And, like, do you trust the Jets to do that with not only Bowers, but Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and things of that nature? As much as Rodgers will help make this offense more creative, I'm just a little skeptical on the – I'm not the ultimate Hackett hater like a lot of the fan base is. But I also think I'm also realistic and understand Rodgers is throwing touchdowns to one rookie tight end in his whole career. I believe that's Mercedes Lewis. That's, you know, way, way back in the day, Rodgers was doing that. So I guess that's kind of my thing there. And then with tackle, the reason I like Fontano is I think he could start at any five spots next year, given a need. And that's kind of what you want. He's a little ADT like in that sense. I think that's why he's appealing, has played left tackle, measured out and tested well enough to play left tackle down the line. If I told you your options on the board, excluding the top three receivers, were Bowers, you know, Fontanu, Thomas Jr., or you could trade back, what are you doing, at 10?
Trade back is first and foremost. With that being said, I recognize it's hard to trade back. I think fans are just like, trade back, get more picks. And then it's like, well, try doing a mock draft.
You mean the PFF mock draft simulator when the teams just randomly call you isn't always entirely accurate?
Yeah, I mean, and I have done a mock where, like, I couldn't find a trade partner before. I'm like, oh, well, this very well could be the Jets, and then you just got to make the best of the situation, stick and pick. Look, if you could trade back, and even if you're only getting an extra third to move back a few spots, that to me is worth it, because then you have two thirds, you have two fourths. If you want to get back into round two, you have the ammunition to go up and probably do it, and that to me would be option one. If you can't find a trade partner, to me, in the scenario you laid out, I'm still going with the offensive lineman, because I don't buy the idea that, oh, well, the O-line's set, now they don't need another offensive lineman. It's like people conveniently forget the Jets have led the NFL in O-line injuries two straight years. They used 13 O-line combinations in 17 games. The last time Tyron Smith played a full season healthy, Will, Ryan Fitzpatrick was the Jet quarterback. So you got to prepare for the classic and the likelihood of the injuries coming. And what raises your floor? Having protection for Aaron Rodgers, who will elevate your weapons. And the other thing that does not get discussed with the Bowers conversation, it's not like the Jets' starting tight end is Ben Hartstock right now or Chris Herndon. Like, Tyler Conklin's a good player. I'm not telling you he's Bowers. Bowers should be better than him. But, like, is he going to be that much better than Conklin in year one? Like, Conklin last 2 years is top 10 in receptions and top 10 in yards, and he's been playing with garbage quarterbacks for the most part. 8 different quarterbacks in 2 years. Tyler Conklin is a good player, will be elevated with Aaron Rodgers. And then if you take Bowers, I'm not saying you don't take him because of Jeremy Rucker, but you're basically burning a third round pick from a couple of years ago. Tight ends don't typically hit the ground running right away. Rucker's had 2 years to kind of develop and sit back behind two veterans. He's expected to have a bigger role this year from what we've seen from Jeremy. And no, it's not just because he's from Long Island and I root for local guys. He could be a good player, in my opinion. I liked him a lot coming out of Ohio State. This would be the year to see it. So you're also basically burning that third round pick if you take Bowers in the top 10. And he's going to have to be one of the best tight ends in the league, like, right away. Like, he needs to have as big of an impact as what Sam Laporta did last year. And I just don't trust the Jets to be the team that is going to take a position that historically has been an outlier to go that high. And they're going to be the ones to make it work. So that's why I'm anti-Bowers at 10.
Yeah, look, I don't think a lot of what you – I think, like, there's both could be true that he's a top 5 or 6, maybe 7 player in this draft. I mean, there's – the blue chip guys is the three receivers, Caleb, Alt, and then probably Bowers. Like, those are probably the 6 guys in this draft, if my math is correct, in my opinion, who are like blue chip guys that you don't see every year and all those different types of things. I think he's a better prospect than Kyle Pitts was. I think the production and the actual tape is better than Kyle Pitts. He's also not a unicorn. That's part of why Kyle Pitts went that high, is because he ran in the 4.3 is at like 6'5", 260 pounds. So it's like, oh, this guy's a unicorn. Obviously, the way they move is different. The production, all that different stuff. But we talk about Kyle Pitts like he's some piece of dog shit. He had 1,000 yards as a rookie. Again, another guy who's played with horrible quarterbacks outside of 1 year, Matt Ryan. He had Arthur Smith, who basically didn't use him at all. I think there's just situations with tight ends that make it a little bit harder where, like, you know, the Lions offense was so much run heavy, heavy set personnel. They, you know, Jared Goff, like, only threw over the middle of the field to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. So I agree with you. I saw, you know, Russillo and Todd McShay talking about, you know, if this guy turns out to have this career, would you be satisfied? And they said they wouldn't be satisfied if he became TJ Hockenson. And, like, that scares me, because if the Jets had TJ Hockenson and Tyler Conklin as their two tight ends, you'd be like, dude, it's probably the best tight end room in the league, or one of the best tight end rooms in the league. But because the expectations may be so high, because he was the best player on Georgia's offense at 19 to 20 years old, that were two of the best college football teams we've ever seen. And because all these different things, you know, with an A.D. Mitchell and with Ladd McConkey and these other guys, he was so much better than them that, like, the expectation level, I worry about. I'm not trying to be sick play. I'm, like, scared of it, obviously, but I'm just worried about how he might get covered, how the expectations from the fan base I've been team trade up for a receiver or try to be as aggressive for a receiver, because I truly believe that when Rodgers retires, whether that's in 2 years, in 4 years, in 12 months, whatever it is, you will have a young quarterback or even a middle of the road to upper end starter coming into a situation with 22-year-old Breece Hall or 23-year-old Breece Hall, 23-year-old Garrett Wilson, 21-year-old Roma Dunsay, or 21-year-old Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. And you're like, damn, man, like this is a damn good group for them to come in. The Jets just have not done that. And I understand with offensive line, but I do truly think you can get an offensive lineman that could be a death piece that can grow in round three. The Jets at some point have to hit on a round three offensive lineman, hit on a round four offensive lineman. Rich talked about it on my pod on Saturday. You know, hey, they really like Carter Warren. He didn't get to play enough last year, so that's kind of why they didn't view him as a starter. And it's like, at some point, you know, and if you keep drafting too many offensive linemen, who's getting reps, right? Like, at some point, you know, when in practice, even in camp, like, Carter Warren and whoever they draft in round three likely or in round one need to be your two tackles, and they need to be getting as many reps as possible. What do you view as, outside of offensive line and receiver, what do you view as their biggest needs, you know, going into next weekend, mostly day two and day three?
Yeah, you certainly nailed it with offensive line and receiver. I think very quietly you look at the defense and you could argue they could add another safety in the draft. You get someone on the pipeline there. I think defensive tackle is a need. I'm not saying you do it, you know, early in this draft, but you could maybe find a guy you could develop and put in the pipeline there as well. And I am fascinated by what they're going to choose to do at quarterback, right? Are they going to use one of those fourth round picks on a quarterback? If they don't, well, then if you forget Spencer Rattler, probably forget Jordan Travis, two of like the guys that they've been linked to. You know, I know Michael Pratt's another guy that the Jets have brought in for a visit, so they're seemingly interested in him. You know, how high is too high to take that day three quarterback that's going to sit behind Rodgers and Tyrod? And, you know, from there, if they don't do it with those fourth round picks, like, you're not picking again until the sixth, and then you're back-to-back picks to end the draft, Mr. Irrelevant. So I just wonder, you know, what their strategy is in regards to the quarterback spot. And then also, up until this point, they have yet to add a running back. I know Rich told you on your pod that, you know, he's like, they're going to add a veteran running back, you can count on it. But I think Rich conveniently forgets, since Joe Douglas has been the GM, every draft they have taken a running back at some point, every single draft. So it wouldn't surprise me if one of those fourth round picks ends up being an RB as well. So I think running back is another offensive position not a lot of people are talking about that the Jets maybe look to add to.
Yeah, I think it's defensive tackle and safety are two things I'd like to see them add. I don't think the value in safety is good at all in the top 100. But I think a guy outside of the top 100 is certainly an add. The Jets always take a long corner that they can move to safety. It's happened again. That and running back and some type of converted safety to linebacker happens literally every year, whether it's Zaire Barnes, Sherrick Bernard Converse, whether it's Jason Pinnock, Tony Adams. The list goes on and on. They've done it every single year. And it's Michael Carter and it's Breece Hall and there's all these different guys. They always take, on day three, they take dart throws on high RAS score guys that can move from safety to linebacker, from corner to safety, and they always take a running back. So I think, you know, I'd love Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. I think he's a perfect fit behind Breece Hall. I think he's a guy that, like, will get you 5, 6, 7 yards of tough yards a pop. He's not a game breaker. He catch the ball. He's getting pass pro. He's a veteran. He's played a bunch of snaps. You know, in big time programs. I just think he's a guy that impressed the Senior Bowl. If he's there in round four at pick 111, depending on what's happened, he's a name I would look for. Obviously, again, you know, I've banged the drum for Zeke a million times. I just think, like, it would be nice for them to have a veteran in the room alongside Breece Hall and Izzy. Hey, Zeke's going to get 8 to 10 touches a week. It's going to be 6 to 8 touches a week, two passing plays at, you know, where it's not even really intended, and then 4 or 5 carries behind Breece to just spell him a little bit, especially on early downs. What, he's the anti-Dalvin Cook. Like, there's zero game break left in Zeke. It's all tough yards, you know, some big time plays at points. Again, I know the stats aren't good. Just actually watch him. You mentioned quarterback. I agree there as well. They've kind of been vocal though, adding another quarterback. It makes sense to try to take a dart throw there. People have this idea with quarterback that they have to hit on Kirk Cousins, Dak, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Brock Purdy. They don't. They have to hit it on Case Keenum, which is exactly what I think Michael Pratt is. I've said it a million times. Like, it's the same thing. It's timing, precision, accuracy, a gazillion starts in college, smaller program that could compete. They aired the ball out, the whole 9 yards. Like, that's who I think Michael Pratt is. He's Case Keenum. Guess what? Case Keenum's been a backup for a decade, and his spot started. He's taken a team to the title game, and he's also been a really quality starter and veteran that could come in and mentor a guy as his career has gone on. When Rodgers walks away and Tyrod Taylor eventually leaves in a year or two, if Michael Pratt's just your backup on making $850K a year, as opposed to having to pay Tyrod Taylor $6 million, like that's a victory, man. Like that's a huge W. The Jets just have not even hit on that. You know, they had one in Mike White, I guess, theoretically, right? And he got out of the building. But for those couple of years, Mike White was a solid, effective backup making garbage money, right, by NFL standards, especially by quarterback standards. So would you, I guess, be surprised? Would you, I guess we have like 3 minutes here. So biggest thing that would make you elated, Jake gets on his show and is pounding Henny in a because he's happy. Anything is possible with Jake Asman, obviously. And as he rips at Henny, if anyone's not watching the video, it's unbelievable.
It's not even 10 a.m. yet.
Yeah, it's 9:54 in the morning. But what make you that happy or a surprise they do it? And then contrary, what's the thing that makes you slug back some of that Henny and go, what the actual fuck just happened?
Defensive player, quarterback. If we're talking just the first round, that would, I mean, I'd say it'd be irate, but like, I just can't picture it. Like, there's no way they're not taking an offensive player. They can't. No way. I'd be elated if they traded up and they got Adunze or they got Malik Nabers. I actually think not enough people are talking about the possibility of Adunze going before Nabers, and Nabers being the one that maybe is there for, you know, a trade up at 8, or maybe they just make one of them just makes it the 10. I mean, everyone seems to have an idea that, oh, 4 quarterbacks are going to go, but you know, we're only going to have one defensive player in the top 10. Like, you never really know until you get to draft night. There's always that one twist that kind of screws up the order. But, you know, any scenario where the Jets come away with one of the big 3 wide receivers on opening night, I would be absolutely pumped up. And then the other scenario that would fire me up, not saying I wouldn't be happy if they just took the best lineman at 10, but if they traded back and still took a really good lineman, that would excite me because the opportunity to get more picks and what such a deep draft and positions the Jets need, receiver and offensive line, to me, that'd be huge. So it's either getting one of the big 3 receivers or successfully pulling off a trade down, getting more picks, and then still taking one of the top offensive linemen.
Yeah, I think the thing that would make everyone go the most nuts is with one of the four picks between 4 through 8, and the New York Jets are on the clock, it's Nabers, Marv, you know, or Rome. They're all different. They're all awesome prospects. They all would have been by far the best prospect in last year's draft from a receiver perspective. I think all 3 are probably better prospects than Garrett Wilson and Drake London coming out, or at least very comparable. I probably better prospects, at least just coming out of college alone. And we saw how good these guys in both London and Wilson obviously are in the pros. I think Connor and Trev and all those guys on their pods have kind of said like, hey, Marv's right in there in the class of like Julio and Jamar Chase and these type of guys. Like, this is not an ordinary prospect. I also think the other one thing that would make me extremely happy, and I think is expected to happen, but should happen, the first 3 picks, especially the first 2, need to be some form of offensive line and receiver or pass catcher. I think if the first 2 picks in either 10 and 73 or vice versa, if they stay at those spots or not that, I think that will drive me nuts a little bit. And I think the thing that you mentioned there, quarterback at 10 to me would be an abject disaster. And this is why I say this. If in a different year where the Jets, because the roster isn't a good spot, they could theoretically do that, right? Like, it would make sense. Hey, they'll have this guy sit for 2 years. He'll learn under Rodgers. We'll do the Jordan Love thing. That's all fair. And I'm not saying anyone's stupid for thinking that. Here's the problem. You're getting, at best, quarterback probably 5 in this draft. And the guys that are 5 and 6 in this draft are probably going to be Penix and Nix. Mm-hmm. Both guys are, like, 24 and 25 years old. Both guys have major concerns coming out of college. They have huge upside, especially Nix. I mean, especially Penix, right? The arm and the way he throws outside the numbers. He's got a fucking bazooka for an arm. That's all great. But like, Penix has no shoulders and no ACLs. And Bo Nix can't throw the ball 60 miles an hour. Had the lowest average depth of target in basically the entire country last year. And he's also 25. You're going to have him start starting games for you at almost 27 years old, you know, down the line? Like, that to me just is a huge red flag. So I'd honestly rather defense than quarterback at 10. Like, if they went and drafted Johnny Newton, at least I'd be like, all right, cool. They'll have the best defense. They'll have the 2000 Ravens defense. And like, we'll cope that way. And they'll get a pass catcher at 73. Like, that's it. Last question here, Jake. I'll give you 2 names, 2 veterans they signed before camp opens. Call your shot now, and we'll replay this on Twitter for all the haters on, in July.
David Bakhtiari, welcome to the New York Jets. That's first. I mean, come on now. I mean, they really have done a nice job of not just like bringing in like, oh, this guy played for the Packers. Aaron likes him, sign him. But you know, there's going to be at least one of them. And Bakhtiari makes the most sense. So I honestly think he'd be a good add, not to be a starting left tackle, but between
especially
him
and if they don't go a line of 10, right? He'd be like, exactly. You feel much better about Warren and Bakhtiari being your tackles, backup tackles, as opposed to like a round 3 pick in Bakhtiari.
Definitely. Well, think about it like this too. Like if Tyron Smith only got $6.5 million guaranteed and he was second team all pro a season ago, Will, Bakhtiari, who's played like 12 games in 3 years, if you look it up, he's probably getting what, like $2 million guaranteed with incentives. So there's great value there. And I think he would probably take even less. Maybe he'd take the minimum to play with Rodgers and go to a scenario where he's comfortable. So to me, he would make a lot of sense. I think Donovan Smith is a name to watch too. But the other name I'd love to see the Jets bring back is someone who played for the Jets last year. Connor McGovern, for the minimum, what he signed last year, would be great for interior depth, could play guard, could play center. Rodgers loves him. The Jets coaching staff loves him. To me, he'd make sense. So I'm gonna say it's two linemen. It's going to be David Bakhtiari and Connor McGovern, one being re-signed, one being brought in to be reunited with Rodgers.
Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. Obviously, Jake, I'll link down your channel below. Obviously, anyone that's going to watch this already knows your channel. It's like the first videos that pop up. But if you search the Jets on YouTube, Jake's channel immediately appears. Appreciate you doing this. Again, Jake's going to be doing a crazy kind of mega cast out in Vegas for the draft. All day, 3 days. Whether if you're not at the Badlands TOJ draft party, make sure you guys are tuned into that or watching Connor on NBC. One of those three. Make sure you guys are tuned into those. And I'll be on Jake's show at some point, either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. So make sure you guys catch me there. Appreciate you for listening, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Leger Duzable on the Badlands feed.